Today's reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, reading from verses 1 to 10. Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service? He hands nations over to him and subdues kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword, to wind-blown chaff with his bow. He pursues them and moves on unscathed by a path his feet have not travelled before. Who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am he. The islands have seen it and fear. The ends of the earth tremble. They approach and come forward. They help each other and say to their companions, be strong. The metal worker encourages the goldsmith, and the one who smooths with a hammer spurs on the one who strikes the anvil. One says of the welding, it is good. The other nails down the idol so it will not topple. But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is the word of the Lord.
So I've heard that sermons are good to be in three parts. So here are my three parts. I'm going to share some of the story so far, share the vision, as far as I know it at the moment, and then think about partnership. So, why am I off to Grenada, you might ask, on a cold day like this? It might be fairly obvious. But in some ways, the story starts here. So for those of you that didn't know Hostin, that's my husband, younger version of ourselves. So you might recognise us a bit better there, with the added bonus, huge bonus, of our two wonderful kids that are here this morning, Hayley and Josh. So over the years, as a family, we used to visit the Caribbean and visit Grenada. And yes, and that was very much part of the journey. But in some ways, looking back now, I can see that the call to Grenada actually started before I got married to Hostin. So I was part of a missionary organization called Youth with a Mission, or YWAM. And I was with them for about 10 years. And for the beginning of the organization, when you join, you need to do what's called a discipleship training school. And you can do that anywhere in the world. So I decided to do it in the Caribbean and was on a ship, actually. So they have mercy ships that travel around. And so when I joined YWAM, I flew to the Caribbean and was in Dominican Republic. And over 10 years, I worked with YWAM, mainly in the north of England, but also in London. That's how I came to be in London. And also in Uganda. So looking back, I can see that God was sowing the seeds of being in a Caribbean or African culture. So over the years, Hostin and I would talk about a dream that we had. And it started really as a bit of a daydream. Wouldn't it be nice to have a place in Grenada, back home for Hostin, and a place that could be a place of hospitality, a place where people could come and be, a place of healing, a place of prayer. And we started to sort of seriously talk about it and think about it. And 2010, there was a weekend course that came up about people that were wanting to run retreats or lead quiet days. And we decided to go to this retreat and this weekend, really as a time to say to God, if this is a dream from you, then really confirm it, because we keep thinking about it and we need to know it's from you, because we don't want to do it if it's not from you. And so we really prayed that weekend, and over the weekend there was various things that happened that really confirmed to us it was what God was calling us to do. I'll share just a couple of things. One of them was about Moses and the burning bush, and that once you see a burning bush, you can't not see it. And that really struck both of us. And a few days ago, I actually found Hostin's notes from this weekend, which was very special timing to read it in his words as well. So the story of Moses and entering the promised land became really significant for us. And also, during that weekend, we walked a labyrinth. So labyrinths were used in all sorts of different ways, but it's a reflective walk, and it's not like a maze, you can't get lost. And we walked, and the Bible passage was about Mary and Joseph going to the town of David. And we were reflecting on this and walking. And both of us individually, as we walked silently, had this same sense that, like Mary and Joseph, Hostin was taking his wife back to his hometown of David. And you probably won't know this, but Hostin grew up as Hostin David. So his dad was Michael David, but when he came over with his mum, his dad had died, and they took the name Galloway, which was his mum's maiden name. So we both really felt strongly that actually there was something about us going back to the place where Hostin came from, in that town of David. So we started writing a journal at that time, and that journal has been really part of my journey. It's quite a full, thick book now. And that's something I would say to you. If God's stirring your heart about a dream, write it down. Because that was over 10 years ago now, and there's so many things that have happened during that time that I would have forgotten them, some of them at least. So, yeah, write it down. If you feel God stirring something in you, write it down. So a lot happened since that time, and I'm not going to go through all this. But these are the sort of key moments that have happened for us. So we went on that retreat, and then Hostin went to visit Grenada, and because of my link with YWAM, he went to visit the YWAM base out in Grenada. And then, actually, is it possible to have the slides here on the pulpit? Okay. Oh, okay, right. I have to play around with my glasses more. Okay, so YWAM then contacted us, and to cut a long story short, there was a house that was available for sale, and the people that owned it were Christian missionaries wanting to sell it to Christians. So we, Hostin and I, went over, came back, and we really felt it was of God. And we put the house on the market here, and it was just the time when Hayley was leaving for uni, and actually the pioneering course was starting as well, so it all dovetailed in with Hostin and I doing the pioneering course. And we lived right next to a railway line, for those of you that ever visited at the time in Hornchurch, and the house before had taken over a year to sell, so we put it on the market thinking it's going to take ages to sell. Josh suggested that we put it at this really high price that even the estate agent thought it wouldn't sell. We'd sold it in a week, which was real confirmation. And there were all sorts of things that happened as part of that. So over the years, we've done a lot of work on the house. The house needed a huge amount of work, so it's needed a new roof, rewiring, everything, yes. new windows, a back door put in. And then Hostin died just before I was about to retire and we were about to leave. And so the story of Moses and Moses not entering the promised land was really an encouragement to me at that time, as well as a sense that despite that horrific thing happening, that God was still in this and that the vision hadn't died. And so, so there's now that new date of departure. So it's been a roller coaster of a time. And that Bible reading has been also a key part of our journey. So when we booked the flights the first time to go and see the house, we just booked the flights, and then our printer randomly churned out this verse, and it was because months ago I'd printed out this verse, but the timing was just incredible that we just booked these flights to go to Grenada, and then my printer, well, God via the printer, printed out, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will hold you in my righteous right hand." And this year, I booked the flight again, this time on my own, a one-way ticket on my own to Grenada, thinking, "Lord, I need some encouragement." And my friend from Uganda, who randomly contacts me on WhatsApp, sent me a verse, and it was the same verse. And throughout this journey, God has just been so faithful and so timing so good. So, before I talk about the vision, just in case you don't know where Grenada is, because I didn't really know until I met Hostin. So if you think of the Caribbean as a sort of a backwards sea, Grenada's down at the bottom near South America. Grenada's a tiny island. It's the size of the Isle of Wight, so you can drive around it in the day. And it's actually got half the population of Havering. So it's not a big place, but it is a special place. So the capital and the airport are down on the southwest, and if you can see the red cross, that's where the house is. So it's up in Bathway, on the edge of a nature reserve. So what's the vision? So something that came up quite often in the pioneering course was see what God's doing and join in. And I think very much my vision initially is just to go, to be, to see what God's doing there already, to learn, to listen, to make it home. One of my friends in YWAM used to say that he thought Christian projects was much about God changing us as us changing those people around us. And so I'm very much aware that it's a time for me also for what God wants to teach me and to change in me. So basically, the vision is in two parts. We've set up a charity called Hummingbird Hope, and the two main aims are really to create a retreat house for people to come and stay, and that will be a non-profit charitable house, and then any profit, or however we do it, will go into the local community, and particularly around these areas, which HOPE is an acronym, for the charity, in terms of health, opportunities, partnership, and the environment. So when people ask me what's the vision, it's really about creating a space and seeing what God does, in a nutshell. That's the house. And the vision has got three lots of three. So there are three strands to it. So we want to create a therapeutic space. So I've been a therapist for about 30 years, and actually there's something for me about creating a therapeutic space rather than me being the therapist. We're on the edge of a nature reserve, 2 minutes walk from the sea. It's a therapeutic environment. And there's a sense of God there on the island. And in, well, certainly because the house has been owned by missionaries, it's been a place of worship for 30 years. So we want to develop a quiet space as well, a room set apart like a chapel, and to have an art room so that there'd be a creativity and a creative space and a spiritual space. So like retreat houses here, often they have a rhythm of prayer, so we'd have times of prayer, morning and evening. And I think over the years, and certainly with the pioneering course, it was really helpful to think about how it would be and the sort of people we want to attract. And so Hostin and I were very clear that it was a spiritual space run by Christians rather than a Christian retreat place, and making that distinction so that actually it's attractive to people that are maybe wouldn't come near a Christian retreat house or go to a church, but would feel maybe drawn to a well-being retreat or something that's not sort of Christian on the label. And for myself, I think my own spiritual journey has moved a lot more into the sort of Celtic and contemplative traditions that actually will shape what we offer there. So the house can sleep 12, well, it depends how many people to a room, but we're looking at sort of 12 guests potentially. So as well as those three strands, those three symbols that shape the vision. So the hummingbird, that's the name of the place, and Hostin chose that name, Hummingbird Retreat, and it's such a powerful symbol. It's a bird that flies backwards, so it naturally retreats. It's a bird that works very hard at being balanced and still, as well as being very active. And the colours of a hummingbird are actually reflections of the sunlight rather than its own colours. So there's a whole sermon in the symbolism of hummingbirds. The second symbol that's been part of our journey is the monastery. And I think more recently there's been a real sort of revival of the idea of new monasticism and the idea of the seven sacred spaces of a monastery representing seven parts of Christian community. And then the third symbol comes from a community I'm part of called Contemplative Fire. And this is a Celtic symbol of the Trinity and the rhythm of life, of that balance of stillness, study and service in the context of relationships with God, with the natural world and with others. So in terms of the vision, I just want to sidestep slightly to share a bit about the work that I've been doing in the therapy world, just to share the third bit of the vision. So I've been developing a model of therapy that includes the spiritual. So people are familiar with cognitive behavior therapy as a type of therapy, and so I've been developing holistic cognitive behavior therapy. And I just want to share an example of where I'm at in my life, just to illustrate this. So we can have a choice with any situation, what we're going through. So my situation at the moment is moving to Grenada. And I can swing from a cycle of faith or a cycle of fear. So when I'm in that cycle of fear, I can have thoughts that I can't do this, this is too much, I'm going to be in a big house on my own, what's going to happen? And I can start panicking and physically feeling like, oh, this feels too shaky, got butterflies in my stomach, and I can panic and not do anything. Or I can center myself on God and connect with the Holy Spirit within me at the heart of who we are and move into that cycle of faith. And I can start feeling excited and remember all that God's done, all the promises, all the fulfillment of actually Hostin's dreams as well as my own. And then I can start packing, as I'm doing now, and getting ready. And I wonder whether any of you relate to that seesaw of swinging between fear and faith. You might not be heading off to Grenada, but there might be something that you're facing that feels overwhelming. There's a book that I used to recommend to clients called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And I knew with clients, most of them never read any of the books that I recommended, but with that one, you only need the title. Feel the fear and do it anyway. And the important thing is recognizing the fear or the doubt or the questions or whatever it is you're going through, but not acting that. It's recognizing it, naming it, but then connecting with God and moving to that cycle of faith and then acting from that place of faith. So in terms of the people that I really feel drawn to work with, I guess they fit in with this model, really. So there's the people that, in a way, has been my day job for 30 years, the people that are stuck in those red, unhelpful cycles of anxiety and depression or reacting from traumas or burnout. And those are people that I still would like to work with and people that might come to the retreat place. But there's also, number two in the middle, those that have maybe lost touch with their spirit, the part of them that is a spiritual part. I believe all of us are spiritual beings. And sometimes we're spiritually homesick or spiritually dead or spiritually disconnected from God. And so I love talking to people that are on that spiritual journey, that are feeling maybe hurt by the church or wouldn't go near a church. Those are the people I love talking to the most. And the third group are those that are maybe on a journey spiritually, maybe psychologically, doing okay, but really at a crossroads, really questioning where their purpose is in life and needing a place of discernment and time to just consider things. And potentially those three groups of people could be one and the same. So thinking about how it's been over the last 12, but certainly the last year, I felt like being in a little boat on my own, certainly the last year on my own. But if you notice, the land around is actually the hand of God. And this picture was from a retreat I went to at the beginning of this year and has really stayed with me and actually ties in with a word that somebody had a few weeks ago in this service about being in a little boat and to cast your nets out wide. So I'm going to do that and talk about partnership to finish. So actually I do feel supported, not just by God, but the charity has directors, two of which are Hayley and Josh, and I really appreciate their support and them standing alongside me at this time. There's also Alvin, who David and Wendy met, who is the pastor of the local church in the village. Interestingly, the same church where Evans's friends go to and who came to the church, so people from Hackney go to the church I'll probably be going to soon. And then there's a support group that Hostin and I set up, which again includes David and Wendy and others. And there's a mailing list that we've got with the website. So there's lots of ways of getting involved. You can visit the website, join the mailing list, donate some money. We've raised a huge amount of money over the years, but we still need a bit more. And if any of you fancy a trip to the Caribbean, and probably today's a good time to ask if you fancy being in the sun, this is a serious request, actually, because I'm going to be in a house on my own with lots of decorating and DIY jobs and gardening. So if that seriously appeals to you, come and join me. Come and have some time out in the sun. But I'm wondering while I've been talking about my dream and Hostin's dream and our dream as a family, whether there's a dream that's been stirring for you, maybe a dream that God's planted in your heart. Josh told me not to mention the football, but can't not mention the football when I'm talking about dreams. I'm just thinking about Gareth Southgate waking up this morning, thinking about his dream. But when I was in Grenada, the last sermon I listened to at Alvin's church, somebody who spoke said, even if your dream has smashed into 1,000 pieces, you need to pick up one of those pieces and start again. And my heart stirred when I heard her say that. And yet, actually, that was a prophetic message for me for when my dreams shattered and I've had to pick up a piece and start again. So, Gareth Southgate, if you're listening, don't give up. But I'm going to finish with a poem. Oh, sorry, did I miss that? Because I can't see my glasses. Yes, thank you. yes, so I've got a container that's coming, and I've got lots of stuff to fill it, but one of my friends said, the worst thing is if you've got a container, if you've got a few little bits of space and you haven't filled it. And there are lots of things that I could probably use, but also local community could use as well. So if anybody's got things that are working, or paintbrushes and stuff can work, whatever, but things that you no longer need that are still usable that come under these topics, so tools, decorating, gardening, DIY tools, arts and crafts material, and Pilates mats, or yoga mats, or whatever you want to call them, and kitchen equipment. So what we're going to do is nearer the time, so February, plan a time where people could bring them to the church, and then I can take them to container. Yeah, thank you, David. So, back to the poem. So let me finish by reading this poem to you, and then, but as I do that, just listen to your heart. Listen to what maybe God's put in your heart, because I think with Hostin and I, we were initially like, oh, this would be a nice idea. But sometimes those desires are actually things that God's sowing in your heart. The Lord God said, I myself will dream a dream within you. Good dreaming comes from me, you know. My dreams seem impossible, not too practical, nor for the cautious man or woman. A little risky sometimes, a trifle brash perhaps. Some of my friends prefer to rest more comfortably, in sounder sleep with visionless eyes. But from those who share my dreams, I ask a little patience, a little humour, some small courage and a listening heart. I will do the rest. Then they will risk and wonder at their daring, run and marvel at their speed, build and stand in awe at the beauty of their building. You will meet me often as you work, in your companions who share the risk, in your friends who believe in you, enough to lend their own dreams, their own hands, their own hearts to your building. In the people who will stand in your doorway, stay a while, and walk away knowing that they too can find a dream. There'll be sun-filled days, and sometimes a little rain, or a great big shower. A little variety both comes from me. So come now, be content. It is my dream you dream, my house you build, my caring you witness, my love you share, and this is the heart of the matter. Amen.
Okay, so I'm going to invite maybe three or four people to come and to pray into what we've heard.
Paul says when he writes to the Corinthians, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Father God, we take comfort in the fact that even the Apostle Paul embarked on his ministry with great fear and great trembling. But we take even greater comfort, Lord, in the fact that our hope is not in human wisdom. Our hope is not in the strength of human beings and what we can achieve. But it rests on you. It rests on the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Not on wise words and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And Lord God, we ask that you might go with Hilary as she embarks on this next stage of this journey. As she feels the fear, but does it anyway. As she goes in your power and in your strength. Lord, we pray that you will pour out your blessing on this ministry. Lord, that you will be present. That we will see lives touched and lives changed. As you, through Hilary, minister to people who need more of you, who need to draw closer to you, who perhaps need to find you for the first time in their lives. And so, Lord, we pray that your Spirit will be on this whole ministry in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just want to say this instead of praying it. I just really felt this morning, right from the very beginning, that the Lord is just saying, Hilary, that faith, love and hope is surrounding you. And that faith, love and hope will emanate from you out to others in a way that you couldn't possibly fathom at this point in time. So, Father, I really pray that when things go really difficult, that Hilary will feel your faith, hope and love surround her. And when things go really well, she will find and feel your faith, hope and love surrounding her even more. Father, we really pray for an anointing on her, Lord, as she goes forward into this amazing ministry and work that you've called her into. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I know that mention was made of Moses, who saw the promised land but didn't actually enter it. And, of course, he was followed by Joshua. I think there's a connection here, isn't there? And as you were... So you're like Mrs. Joshua-type person. But anyway, look, this is what I was wanting to read out from Joshua chapter 1. God said, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Yeah. So I want to just pray that in. We can pray that in. And Father, we do thank you that you are a faithful and loving God. We thank you that you see the beginning and the end, because you are the Alpha and the Omega. And we thank you for your faithfulness to Austin and to Hilary. And we pray, Holy Spirit, you'd fill Hilary right now and encourage her and affirm that she's walking in your will. And we thank you for the promise that you won't ever leave her or forsake you. Amen. Amen. Can I just say one small thing? I've got an answer phone machine at home, and you know how you get lots of messages, and then occasionally you go through them. I think I must delete that because it's very old. When I get to the last one, it says this, "Brother Keith, this is Hoston. How are you?" I can never forget that, and I can't bring myself to delete the message. But wow, what a wonderful work of the Holy Spirit through the pair of you. And God bless you in what you're doing.
Wendy and then Lee. Wendy, yeah, and then Lee.
So when we were in Grenada, I was prompted by the Spirit of God to pick this up. And I'm feeling now that the Spirit of God is prompting me to lay it down on our behalf here in this place. These are seeds. And when we were in Grenada, there were seeds of the hummingbird ministry, very evident. But I feel what God's saying this morning is that these seeds are our seeds of that ministry that will grow here amongst us. Not only just in support of the ministry, but to receive from it. And so to make that link, I think I want to lay it down here in this place. And to pray, Lord Jesus, would you use these seeds on behalf of the hummingbird ministry to minister to us, to prompt us, and to know what is our part, that your kingdom work will go forward here in Collier Row and indeed in Grenada. In Jesus' name I pray.
There's obviously a real depth of spirituality for you. And obviously the visions God for you, the vision that God has given you involves being that being a very spiritual place and an opportunity to connect in a real deep way with God and the Father God. And I had this picture of, I don't know what the layout of the house is, as if there was a quadrant in the middle. In that is a very, very deep cenote, which, as you know, you might know, is a Mexican sinkhole full of water. And it's a beautiful, often blue, which to me is a colour of depth and spirituality. I imagine these pictures of God and sit next to a tarn in the Lake District, a beautiful, peaceful place, but there's this stillness and this calm on this lake, but it's also so deep, and the deeper you get, the bluer it gets, in a sense, and I just believe that God's put that right in the middle of the house, this cenote, and it's got a real depth to it, but however much you draw from that, and it's free for you to draw from, there's loads of it, and it's deeper than you can ever imagine. So there's that resource there of the depth of God in that place as you go there.